Let's take our Chorus books again and turn to 125, just a couple of pages over. 125. The old count.
Resurrection. gain from his reward. I cannot give an answer, but this I know with all my heart. His wounds have paid my ransom. Why should I gain from his reward? I cannot give an answer, but this I know with all my heart. His wounds have paid my ransom, but this I know. His wounds have paid my ransom.
Boy. Truth in that song right there. That's everything I live for right there. His wounds, his death, his resurrection. That provides salvation for me. Oh, what a wonderful thing. All right, would you take your Bible tonight and turn to the Old Testament book of Ruth. The Old Testament book of Ruth, and I want you to look at chapter 2 if you would with me. Ruth chapter 2. Ruth chapter 2, Old Testament book of the Bible. This, of course, was long before Jesus was even born. Before Jesus was born, this event took place. And what happened here in the book of Ruth, what we have is a woman named Naomi and her husband Elimelech. They were Jews in the land of Israel, and there was a famine in the land. It was a time when every man did that which was right in his own eyes. It was a wicked time in the nation of Israel. They were away from their God, not serving God the way they should. And a famine came and they left the land. God had said, stay in the land and I'll bless you here. They didn't. They left the land, went down to Moab. And their two boys married two Gentile girls down there in Moab, Ruth and Orpah. In time, the father died. And in time, the two boys died. Without having any children. So Naomi was left a widow with two daughters-in-law. And news came finally that God had blessed back in the land and that there was bread once again in the land of Israel. And she decided to go back to the land. In going back, she wanted her daughter-in-laws to stay in their native land, but they followed her. And one finally went back, but Ruth stayed with her. If you remember the story of Ruth, she says, "My, your people will be my people. Your God will be my God. Where you lodge, I will lodge." And she went with Naomi back to Israel. Well, Naomi went out happy, but came back bitter, it says. Bitter with the Lord, because everything had been taken away from her. But she has Ruth, a Gentile girl with her, back in the land. And God is going to do something wonderful for both Naomi and for Ruth, which is a beautiful picture of what he has done for you and for me. Ruth is a Gentile. I wonder if you're here tonight, how many of you have any roots in Judaism. Are you a Jew? Probably not. Most of you probably are Gentile in nature, okay, or birth. I know I am, all right? I'm not a Jew. But I'm entering into the blessings that God has done for the Jew, being a Gentile. And this story brings this out. God is going to bless this Gentile girl, Ruth, and actually place her right into the very line of the Lord Jesus Christ being born into this world. If you would go to the book of Matthew and look at the genealogy there, you'll see Ruth's name come up in the line of the descendants or the ancestors of our own Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. How did a Gentile get in there? Well, no matter how, I'm glad she's in there. Because in that she's in there, so am I. I'm in on this blessing too. And so I just want to go over this a little bit, starting there at chapter 2 in Ruth, if you can find your place there, verse 18. And she took it up, this would be Ruth, took it up into the city, and her mother-in-law, that's Naomi, the widow now, saw what she had gleaned, and she brought forth and gave to her that she had reserved after she was sufficed or satisfied. And her mother-in-law said unto her, so Naomi, the Jew, the widow Jew, says to Ruth, the Gentile daughter-in-law she has, where hast thou gleaned today, and where wroughtest thou? Blessed be he that did take knowledge of thee. And she showed her mother-in-law with whom she had wrought and said, the man's name with whom I wrought today is Boaz. Folks, Boaz is a near kinsman to Naomi. And see, when they left the land, they had to sell everything. And so now when they come back into the land, the only way they can get their land back is if somebody pays it for them and buys it back for them. She's without anything. She's lost everything, has nothing. And Boaz is going to come to her rescue. But not only rescue Naomi and give her land back and possibly even raise seed unto her husband and her sons, but it's going to marry Ruth as well. Just a wonderful thing that God is doing. And you know what? You can only count this down to the grace of God working behind the scenes here. Here's a widow woman out of all the people there are. And bring her back into the land with a Gentile daughter-in-law. And match her up with one of her kinsmen who is rich and able and willing to do it. I'm telling you what, God's working here. And I would say to you, if you're sitting here tonight and you're saved and you know that your sins are forgiven, you're a child of God through faith in Jesus Christ and you have a home in heaven, it's by the grace of God you sit there like that, and that's all. Not because you deserve it or you're good or you have a heritage or you're a church or anything else like that. It's by the grace of God, as Jason just sang that beautiful song. Wow. All right, well, let me go on here. I'll never get done. Let's go. Verse 20. And Naomi said unto her daughter-in-law, blessed be he of the Lord who hath not left off his kindness to the living and to the dead. And Naomi said unto her, the man is near of kin unto us, one of our next kinsmen. And Ruth the Moabitess said, he said unto me also, thou shalt keep fast by my young men until they have ended all my harvest. Now, you've heard me tell you, I believe Boaz already has his eyes on Ruth, okay? I think he's already in love with Ruth, and he's doing everything he can to woo her to himself. And if you're a Gentile saved here tonight, I want you to know that Jesus Christ, and through the Holy Spirit of God, has done everything he can to woo you unto himself. God wants you saved. Saved from what? From your sin, and wants you to become a child of God through faith in Jesus Christ, the only one who can pay for your sins, just like Boaz is the only one who can redeem Naomi's land and, of course, marry Ruth as a result of that as well and raise up seed under her family so the name can keep on going. It's the only one who can help her is this man named Boaz. All right, verse 22, and Naomi said unto Ruth, her daughter-in-law, it is good, my daughter, that thou go out with his maidens, that they meet thee not in any other field. So she kept fast by the maidens of Boaz to glean unto the end of barley harvest and of wheat harvest, and dwelt with her mother-in-law. Well, amen for Ruth. Ruth said, okay, Naomi, I won't go anywhere but his field. I'll stay right there with him. I'll just trust you to get me taken care of with him, I guess. And Boaz is interested in her. And Naomi sees the opportunity here for her to have her whole life redeemed, bought back from destruction and despair and everything. Now, remember I told you we're going to go to Romans chapter 11 in the New Testament. Romans chapter 11. Because what I see here is a beautiful picture of how God saves Gentiles. Ruth, a Gentile, is just another one of God's way to bring Israel to jealousy. Now, I want you to know something right now. Israel, as we all know, current events, what a mess things are in this world right now with all the countries over there. They kind of hate Israel, and Israel causes a lot of trouble too. And it's because for a long time now, they have been in rejection of their Messiah, Jesus Christ. And they're paying an awful penalty for having turned their back on the Lord Jesus Christ. But you know what? Ever since that happened, way back there at the time of Calvary and the death, burial, resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, God has been calling out of the Gentiles, all the rest of the nations of the world, a people for his name called the church, and saving many Gentiles while Israel is nationally in unbelief. Now, I'm not saying that individual Jews don't get saved. Amen. Some of them do. But God is right now working on the Gentile peoples to bring them unto himself. But that's going to come to an end as well. And then he's going to return to working on the children of Israel once again, just like happened here in the book of Ruth, where Naomi gets an opportunity to be restored through Ruth, a Gentile daughter-in-law of hers. So what's happening? Israel, who's gotten away from the Lord, is going to be brought back by jealousy through the way God's dealing with the Gentiles. And they're going to start saying, well, if God's doing this for these Gentiles, why can't he do it for us, Israel, too? And they're going to turn finally and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. It hasn't happened yet, but it's going to happen. And how do I know it's going to happen? Because it's right here in Romans chapter 11. Would you follow along with me as we get there? All right, Romans chapter 11. Here the Apostle Paul. Now, Romans is after the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord. The gospel's going forth. The Gentiles are being preached the gospel of Jesus Christ. They're getting saved from their sins, having a new life in Christ, home in heaven. Yeah, not going to hell anymore. They're going to heaven, saved through the gospel. Verse 1, I say then, hath God cast away his people? By the way, In the Bible, when it talks like that, his people refers to Israel. They're his people. Now, I know the nations don't like them. They'd like to get rid of Israel. But God loves them. God loves them. And they're not doing what they should be doing right now. But you know what? Someday they're going to turn. They're going to get straightened out. But if you're a Gentile, you need to get straightened out. You need to get saved. Well, hath God cast away his people? God forbid, for I also am an Israelite. The writer of Romans, Paul, he was an Israelite. Of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin, God hath not cast away his people, which he foreknew. Would ye not what the scripture saith of Elias, and that refers to Elijah in the Old Testament, how he maketh intercession to God against Israel, saying, remember Elijah and the prophets of Baal? Elijah thought he was the only prophet left that was still faithfully serving the Lord. He had to learn God still had some more people in Israel that hadn't turned. So he goes on, verse 3. Lord, they have killed thy prophets and digged down thine altars, and I am left alone, and they seek my life. But what saith the answer of God unto him? I have reserved to myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to the image of Baal. Even so, at this present time also there is a remnant according to the election of grace. And if by grace, then it is no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then is it no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. Wow. What's some great things being said there to Elijah. Elijah, you're not the only one who's still faithful to me. I have a remnant in Israel. But it is just a remnant. We're going to find that for the most part, all of Israel, except for this remnant, have turned away and turned their backs on the Lord Jesus Christ. When they crucified the Lord Jesus Christ there way back then, they, as a nation, they said, we do not want this man over us. We don't want him. And as a result, the nation fell into what we would call spiritual blindness to the truth. And while they're in spiritual blindness, as we will read, God is going to reach out to the Gentiles and bring them in while they're in blindness for a time.
and work on the Gentiles. Here we go. Now, notice in verse 6 that God calls it an election of grace. This whole thing is grace. Everything that God does for us is the grace of God. Because quite frankly, we being sinners from Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, we being sinners deserve to be separated from a holy God forever. We really have no right at all to have any place with God in His holiness at all. But we do through His Son, Jesus Christ. He has provided a way to pay for our sins, and it's by grace. And it better be by grace you're saved and not by works. Don't tell God, I'm okay, I'm pretty good, I'm not as bad as another guy. No, it better be all by grace or it's nothing. You don't have anything at all. You can't say I'm going to heaven by grace and then try to work your way. You can't work your way and then say it's by grace. And by the way, here I'm going to throw another King James Bible thing at you. Look at verse 6. Look at verse 6. You see where it starts with the word, but if it be of works, then is it no more grace? Otherwise, work is no more work. Do you know that whole passage is out of the New Bible versions? It's all gone. You better hang on to your King James Bible, okay? If you want the Word of God, you better hang on to it. All right, now we go on to this thing about Israel and blindness. Verse 7. What then? Israel hath not obtained that which he seeketh for, but the election have obtained it, and the rest were blinded. Somebody's been blinded here, and it's Israel nationally. Verse 8, according as it is written, God hath given them a spirit of slumber, eyes that they should not see, and ears that they should not hear unto this day. And David saith, let their table be made a snare and a trap and a stumbling block and a recompense unto them. Let their eyes be darkened that they may not see and bow down their back alway. Now, I don't know if you have a center column reference in your Bible that tells you where verse 8 and 9 come from. But it comes from Isaiah and also Psalm 69. Psalm 69 is a prophetic psalm talking about how Israel is going to turn their back on their Messiah and kill him. And that's a prophecy of how Jesus would die on the cross for their sins and they would reject him. And the prophecy says, let those who are against the Lord be blinded and darkened and not be converted. And that's exactly what happened to Israel nationally. All right, continuing on. Verse 11. I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? Now the word they is referring to Israel. All right. We could say it this way. Have Israel stumbled that Israel should fall? God forbid. But rather through their fall, salvation has come unto the what? Gentiles, for to provoke them to jealousy. Now, I want to stick this back into the book of Ruth, okay? So who is this? Has Naomi stumbled that she might fall? No, God forbid. But rather, through Naomi's, through their fall, salvation has come unto Ruth, okay? Put Ruth in there. Salvation's come unto Ruth, for to provoke Naomi to jealousy. Wow, I can fit that in there. Verse 13. Now if the fall of them, the Jews, be the riches of the world, the Gentiles, and the diminishing of them, the Jews, the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? Meaning when Israel finally wakes up that they have been rejecting the Messiah by mistake all these centuries, what a wonderful fullness it's going to be when they finally wake up to the truth. But in the meantime, Gentiles are reaping the benefit of God's grace toward them. Verse 13, for I speak to you Gentiles. So there he says it right out. I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles. And that is what Paul was. You know, Peter was the apostle to the circumcision or to the Jews. Paul was the apostle to the Gentiles. specifically to them. I magnify mine office. Verse 14. If by any means I may provoke to emulation. Now emulation there would be jealousy. Them which are my flesh. And he's referring to his own people now. Paul's own people, the Jews. And might save some of them. You know, all the while Paul preached to the Gentiles, he had a hidden desire inside to still win the Jews to Christ. It was still a insatiable desire on his part to win Jews to Christ while he was primarily ministering to the Gentiles. And we need to keep that in mind all the time as well. That just because God is working on Gentiles, don't forget the Jews, all right? And every once in a while in prayer meeting, and someone will say, we need to pray for the peace of Jerusalem, you know? Amen. It's so wonderful to see when a Jewish person does trust Jesus as the true Messiah, the true Savior, and trust him as their Savior, and have a life-changing experience trusting Jesus Christ as their Savior. That's one of the great things to be able to see, is when an Israelite gets saved. Same thing could be true for the Gentile as well. But even, it just seems far greater for some reason when an Israelite gets saved. All right, well, verse 15. For if the casting away of them, that's the casting away of the Jews, be the reconciling or bringing back together of the world or the Gentiles, what shall be the receiving of them be but life from the dead? When Israel finally does come back, what a receiving that is going to be. Verse 16. For if the first fruit be holy, the lump is also holy. And if the root be holy, so are the branches. You know, Israel really belongs where they're the apple of God's eye. They're the holy root, you could say. And if that's holy, well, then so are the branches. Verse 17. And if some of the branches be broken off, and they were, because of Israel's rejection, God broke them off. And thou, being a wild olive tree, wert grafted in among them. Now, who's this thou being a wild olive tree? That's Gentiles. That's like Ruth getting in on this, okay? Ruth's coming back with Naomi to land. She's going to enter into the joy of marrying Boaz and get into the line of Christ and everything. I mean, she's going to get in on good things here. She's like a wild branch grafted into the good branches. And then verse 18, boast not against the branches, but if thou boast, and referring to the Gentiles, if thou boast, thou bearest not the root, but the root thee. Thou wilt say then, the branches, or the Jews, were broken off, that I, the Gentiles, might be grafted in. Oh, don't talk like that. You know what? If you're a Gentile and saved, there's a verse in the Bible that says, salvation is of the Jews. Salvation is of the Jews. Might be hard for some to acknowledge that, but that's the way it is. If you're going to go to heaven and be saved, it's going to be through the Jews' Messiah, Jesus Christ. It's the only way. And God did this in a special way, so that he could prepare the way to bring his son into the world. And it would be through David and Solomon and all the line of the kings till Jesus was born in Bethlehem. And he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Now David was born a sinner. Solomon was born a sinner. But my Savior Jesus Christ, though in the line of David and Solomon, there's one extra special thing about his birth. He was virgin born. Virgin born. Born of a virgin. That holy thing found in the womb of Mary was put there by God, and he came forth into this world as a human, just like all the rest of us, but without the stain of what?
Sin.
Sin. No sin. No sin from Mary, no sin from Joseph. He was conceived of the Holy Ghost in the womb of Mary, a virgin. But still in the line, rightful heir to the throne of Israel. And salvation is of the Jews. Going back now, Verse 19, thou wilt say then, the Gentiles wilt say then, the branches, the Jews were broken off, that I, the Gentile, might be grafted in. Well, because of unbelief they were broken off. Not because you Gentiles are special. It's because they didn't believe, and now God's going to give the Gentiles opportunity. All right, go verse 20. Well, because of unbelief they were broken off, and thou standest by faith. Be not high-minded, but fear. For if God spared not the natural branches, I mean, if God dealt with Israel the way he has and broke them off, it says, take heed lest he also spare not thee. Now, there are groups who want to take this passage of scripture to teach an awful doctrine called insecure salvation, or that you can lose your salvation. This has nothing to do with this. This is not talking about individuals getting saved and lost. It's talking about groups of people, Jews and Gentiles. Groups of people that God is dealing with. Not individuals for personal salvation here. That's wrong interpretation of Scripture. I believe this about the doctrine of salvation. Once you trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you are eternally saved forever, and it can never change. Never change. Because what God does, he does well. And he does permanently and forever and completely. And he can, because what Jesus Christ accomplished on that cross is more than sufficient to save you and me from all of our sin. Because he is a perfect Lamb of God dying for you and me. So this passage is not talking about individuals getting in, getting out, broken in, broken out, stuff like that. It's talking about people groups, the Gentiles and the Jews. All right, verse 22. Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God. There's the two sides of God, goodness and severity. Severe with Israel, good with the Gentiles. All right, on them which fell, severity on the Jews. But toward thee, Gentiles, goodness, if thou continue in his goodness, otherwise thou also shalt be cut off. And again, it's people groups talking about here, not individuals. Verse 23, and they also, referring to the Jews. Now look at this, because here it starts turning around. And they also, the Jews, if they abide not still in unbelief, shall be grafted in. For God is able to graft them in again. And by the way, don't you think it'd be easier to graft in a branch that really belongs there anyway? Yeah. And he's going to graft them right back in if they come to a place where they finally start believing as a group of people. And that day is coming. You'll see it here. Here we go. Verse 24. For if thou wert cut out of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, referring to the Gentiles, and were grafted contrary to nature into a good olive tree, you know, these Gentiles being put into the good olive tree of what's the grace of God for the Jews in that, how much more shall these, the Jews, which be the natural branches, be grafted into their own olive tree? It's going to be so much easier for God to put them in than to put Gentiles in. By the way, you know what? When you read this, which is harder for God to do? To put the Jews back in or put Gentiles in? To put Gentiles in. Because we have nothing. We have nothing to offer to God. At least the Jews are the chosen people. They have the oracles of God. They have the Bible, the scriptures and everything, the prophets and all that. I mean, and they have the covenant relationship with circumcision and all that kind of thing with God. Gentiles have nothing. Well, we have nothing to offer to God. So which is easier for God to do? It's easier for him to take care of the Jews, putting them back in once they believe, than for us. Verse 25. For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits. Now listen to this. That blindness in part is happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. You know what? There's going to come a time when God is done working, generally speaking, with the Gentile nations to bring them unto himself. And folks, I think we're coming down to the end of that time. I think we're getting close to what we refer to in the Bible as the end times, or the fullness of the Gentiles. If you're a Gentile and not saved, you better do something about that now. For the time is getting shorter. And there's going to happen what we call the rapture of the church. And then there's going to be great tribulation on this earth, and the Gentile nations are going to follow an Antichrist. They're going to follow an Antichrist. And it's going to be judged by the Lord Jesus Christ himself. But in the meantime, while that's happening, God is going to be reaching out to Israel to bring them back unto himself. And look what it says here, verse 26. And so all Israel shall, see that's future yet, shall be saved. As it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob, referring to Israel. For this is my covenant unto them when I shall take away their sins. As concerning the gospel, right now, as concerning the gospel, the Jews are enemies for your sakes. But as touching the election, they are beloved for the Father's sake. You know, God knows what he's going to do. I'm going to bring Israel back unto myself by grace. That's what I'm going to do. And he says in verse 26, go back there. And so all Israel shall be saved. Now, it's not talking about every individual. It's talking, generally speaking, the people group of the Jews. They are all going to be saved someday. Won't that be good when Israel finally realizes they've been wrong all these centuries of years of rejecting Jesus Christ? Now, sad to say, there's been some things happening that, you know, even some people on the Christian side of things have been terrible towards the Jews down through the years. But they themselves had made their own decision to reject Jesus. And as a result, God broke them out of the good olive tree. In the meantime, ever since Calvary till today, he's been calling out Gentiles for the most part and grafting them in as wild branches out of a wild olive tree and putting them into the good olive tree through faith in Jesus Christ. But that day's coming to an end when he's going to stop working on the Gentiles. And he even warns the Gentiles, don't get high and mighty and think that, oh, God loves us better than the Jews, because he's going to bring them back to himself. And one of these days, all Israel shall be saved. And they're going to rejoice in Jesus Christ as their Savior. There's going to be a great work of God done here. Now, this is what happened in the book of Ruth. God brings Naomi back into the land. She has nothing. It's like the Israelites broken out of the good olive tree. And now God's blessing Ruth and bringing her to Boaz. And Naomi's looking, whoa, wow. You're in the field of one of my kinsmen redeemer. And she's becoming a little bit jealous maybe. And like, wow, there's hope for me. And as the Gentiles get saved, and Paul's hoping that as Gentiles get saved, Israel will start looking at it and say, wait a minute. If God's been so good to these Gentiles, maybe we ought to get in on this. And by God's grace, he's going to work on them to bring them back unto himself, and all Israel shall be saved, it says. And verse 29 says, for the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. You might say, I don't understand why God does this. That's because God is gracious and merciful. That's why. You know, if it was up to you and me, we'd probably condemn the Israelites to forever to be separated from God forever. But that's not God. That's us. That's the way we think. I'm glad that our God is a gracious God. In fact, I'm glad that while Israel is in unbelief, he's even saw fit to save a soul like mine and a soul like yours. How about it? Are you saved tonight? Do you know Jesus Christ is your personal Savior? Do you sit there and say, preacher, I know I'm going to heaven because there was a time in my life I trusted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. You know what? You really ought to be thankful that God in his mercy, while Israel is in unbelief, has been reaching out to you and to me to save our souls. Try to pay attention to me, okay? All right? With what's going on. You ought to be the happiest person in the whole world that God is saving Gentiles. All right. Continue on. Let's finish this up here. Verse 30. For as ye in times past have not believed God,
All right, let's have a word of prayer. Dear God in heaven, we thank you for the blessing of salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. I pray you would have taught us some good things out of thy word tonight about Ruth, Naomi, the way you're reaching back out to save Gentile nations. And now someday you're going to save Israel once again and bring them back to yourself. What a wonderful thing. What a wonderful thing it was for Naomi, as we will see as we continue through the book of Ruth. She ends up just as blessed as can be. And one of these days, all Israel shall be saved. And we're all together, Jew and Gentile, going to be serving the Lord Jesus Christ for all eternity in that wonderful eternal heaven and the kingdom that he's going to rule and reign over. I pray if there's any here tonight, Lord, who as of yet have not placed their faith in the Messiah of Israel, the only one who can save, that they would do that today. Humble themselves, acknowledge their sinful condition, and trust in Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. Jason, would you come? Let's turn to number 83 in the same book we were using. He is all I need. And if you're here tonight and you would like help trusting Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, we're going to give an invitation. If you're here tonight, we'd like to help you trust Christ as your Savior. Why don't you just step out from where you're at? I'll be standing down front here and we'll help you trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior tonight. We'll have someone help you privately. Get saved. The best thing you could ever do is get saved. Boy, I was 10 years old when I got saved. Trusted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. I know where I'm going. It's not because I feel happy about it. I just know the Bible says if I trust Christ, I'm going to heaven through faith in what he did for me on the cross. How about you? Are you saved? If you're not, he's all you need. He's all you need. Let's stand and sing. Number 83, he is all I need. He is all I need. Good literature in the back there to help people trust Christ as their Savior. Take some tracts and be a witness for the Lord. And it'd be great to see someone come to know Christ as their Savior. And let's live for the Lord this week, okay? All right. Let's pray. Dear God in heaven, thank you for sending your Son Jesus Christ into this world to die for sinners like us. And we can have the full assurance of eternal life, forgiveness of sins, and home in heaven. Help us to share that with anyone who will listen. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.